Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Andrews. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I think a little bit of sun always helps.
A little bit of sun?
A little bit of sunshine in Whitstable today as I ate my
Have you been sunbathing on the beach?
No, I was too busy eating egg and bacon. And, of course, my new husband very rarely empties the dishwasher in the morning. It is a bone of contention in our house.
Is it?
He gets up at 5 a.m.
What, to empty the dishwasher?
No, exactly, not to empty the dishwasher. He gets up at 5 a.m, makes a few calls, pretends he's working, you know, looks busy.
It's my job at home to stack the dishwasher, you know.
Well, yeah, apparently so does Rishi Sunak.
Yeah.
Do you believe it? And then he says he runs upstairs to make the bed.
Of course he does.
Can you imagine?
Of course he does.
Rishi Sunak making the bed and stacking it in.
But
the new husband is not known for it. I have taught him to cook. He's getting better, but he's not known for stacking the dishwasher. He still doesn't know how to put a wash on. I mean, 30 years.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I asked him actually yesterday. I was a bit harassed, and I said, it's a nice day. I thought I can get some washing out on the line. Mm. And I said, how about you take that up, you know, because I have my hands full. And so he looked a bit affronted, and I said,
I'm not surprised.
There's the basket. You take it up. We've got an upside-down house, so the washing machine's upstairs. And so he staggered up and just put the washing basket by the washing machine.
Where do you want him to put it? By the cooker?
I wanted him to put it in and on.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Did you give him explicit orders to do that?
No.
No, exactly.
Anyway, so then I went up and I hauled it all in. I tutted and I hauled it all in with pursed lips.
Next year we're going to be telling me you don't do the ironing.
Well, let me tell you about this.
Okay.
I purse my lips. As I'm hauling it all in, I have a system where I have a white cotton bag for whites. I keep the whites and the coloureds separate.
That's a bit racist.
Yeah, I know. That's what he said. So I said to him, can you take the coloureds up? And he went, Mammy.
Oh, dear.
No, we're like that in our house. And we're not racist, but we're like that.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of fun, bit of banter. And so I said, can you take the colours up and put them in the washing machine? So as I'm loading, he's also got the whites in there and the white cotton bag that are completely separate.
Is that a problem then?
I would have bunged in.
Is that a problem?
Then it all goes grey.
Does it?
Yeah, I've got some natural bleach I use because you know I'm a witch. I've got some natural.
See, I've got a washing machine that will wash anything all in one go.
Yeah, but so does mine. What, mixed fabric?
Yeah.
I've got that.
Mixed colours.
Oh, I haven't got that.
Yeah.
You know what I haven't got, which really
comes out great.
I'll be having a look at your underwear.
Not again.
I mean, it's too much for Tuesday. But the other thing is, do you remember that mate of ours that used to? Because you know, there's a whole thing about how we love owls. People love owls, don't they?
Owls.
Yeah. Do you remember
Ed Miliband? He was going to give away free owls, wasn't he? Right.
Was he?
Yeah, apparently.
Why?
I don't know. Don't carry on, yeah.
But do you remember we had that mate that used to think he was actually an owl? Do you remember back in Romney Marsh?
Really? I remember the guys that had owls.
Do you remember the one that actually thought he was an owl?
No.
Who was that?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Ask me.
Who was the one that thought he was an owl?
Ask me again.
Who was the one that... Oh, it's going to be a really stupid joke, isn't it? Who was the one that thought he was an owl?
Just say...
What?
No.
What?
Do you remember him?
No. Who? I wasn't going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. It's just stupid.
Honestly, you can't get the staff.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do it. It's not even funny. Yes, I know it's not even funny. But funny enough, when we were in Dimchurch, remember that guy that had a pest control business that was all
owls
and hawks and falcons?
He came in with a great big gauntlet.
Yeah.
As you do.
And a big glove,
Big gauntlet and a big glove. Going back to the washing machine, my washing machine, I wash Darcy's bedding quite a lot. I noticed you've got a little dog as well on your... No husband on the front of your phone, but a dog on the front of your phone. Very wise.
That's pretty standard, isn't it?
You never know when they might change.
Yeah, my missus has got a picture of her and a horse. Yeah. And when I complained about it, she went, I'll put a picture of the dog up as well.
Yeah. Well, mind you, your teeth and a horse, quite similar, really. She could, you know, metamorphize, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You do have a long face occasionally.
Yeah.
Right. But...
Every joke from the 1940s coming out here, isn't it?
Well, it's our last show in this studio. But talking about washing machines, so I snatched out the white stuff and tutted and pursed my lips and put the colours on.
Mm-hmm. So it worked then. Well done, Gavin.
Yeah.
Shot.
Yeah, well, because he'll never be asked again.
No, exactly.
Just,
that's perfect.
Ridiculous.
You fall for it every time.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The other thing he did, I'm going to be fat as a barrel tonight, because you know it's your leaving party.
Yeah, my surprise leaving party.
Yeah, your surprise one that nobody's supposed to tell you about.
Yeah. So that I got an invite to.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. So I obviously am on my 90-day protocol, I've only got 2 weeks left.
Right.
It's flash by. And I've gone down a dress size and I wasn't even trying to lose weight.
Blimey.
This is a 16. I'm now a 14. It's ridiculous.
Blimey.
I have to get a whole new water. But I wasn't trying to lose weight. I was doing it for my gut biome. And it's worked really well. I'm very perky. Why was I even talking about that? So what I did was, I said to the new husband this morning, I know for a fact he never listens to me.
You see, hold on. You missed an opportunity there then, didn't you?
What?
Well, you should have let Gavin do the washing and shrink it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I will.
And then you wouldn't need a new wardrobe, because he would have pre-shrunk all your existing wardrobe from a size, 18 were you,
16,
to 16?
Thank you very much. But when the NHS were not treating my thyroid properly for 25 years, I was a 20 or an 18. You'll remember those days.
I do, yeah. I couldn't get in the studio.
No, I was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of us have yo-yoed over the years, to be honest. But
in
my defence, mine was my thyroid, and the NHS...
In my defence, it was her feeding me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We used to have a lot of good curries on the show, as I remember, poppadoms and, you know, barges and things. Anyway, so what I notice is when I'm washing my greyhound Darcy's bedding, I would like another washing machine. I would like a dog washing machine, because you get all the hairs after and then you have to clean it
all.
Well,
you put a dog in a washing machine.
No.
And watch it go round.
Rotary or something.
It's taking it for a walk, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah.
It'd be like a hamster on a treadwheel.
It would.
Mill.
Yeah. That'll
treadmill.
Work.
And then
I think we just invented a new business.
There we are.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I did the rugs, but if my washing machine's very odd, if it's not balanced, so what I do is I do it on what you said, the mixed fabrics, which is a really quick cycle, it's about 40 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, some of those cycles are 3.5 hours.
Know,
it's ridiculous.
It's like a dishwasher.
Oh, it's bonkers.
Goes on for days.
Oh. Anyway, we won't go back to that, because the new husband doesn't empty that either. But I do this mixed fabrics, but it doesn't actually it doesn't squeeze it out very much. What's that called? Spin.
Yeah.
So then I have to put it on for another 15 minutes to do a spin.
Right.
But if it's just a little blanket and a little padded thing, it doesn't spin. It comes out sopping wet. So I phoned up the person that installed it, and she said, it's about your weight. You've got to put something more in there.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So if it's not a balance, I've got to put in more stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe a brick or a pair of trainers or the dog. But isn't that ridiculous? So if the balance isn't right, it comes out sopping wet.
Yeah, there you go.
That is, I mean, who even invented that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that on your machine?
I've no idea.
You probably don't do it often.
I have occasionally done the washing, yes.
Well, you lived on your own for years, so you should be. I mean, you were on your own for yonks.
Yeah, yeah. But when you live on your own, you don't need to do the washing, do you?
No, you don't change the sheets.
Clothes last a lot longer when you live on your own.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, I want to rant in a minute.
Oh, not another one.
Yeah.
What about blue cheese?
The council have annoyed me.
Oh, what have they done?
Well, they sent us all a letter a couple of weeks ago saying that they're changing...
1309, by the way. I'm timing you.
Yeah, yeah. They're changing... the refuse collection cycle. They've got a new company, and Ashford, Maidstone and Swale all have the same company, so it's a joint.
Who is
project.
It? Kineco?
I don't know who. They've just changed it, and they sent me a letter saying, warning, 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 we're changing everything about the refuse collection. You must pay attention to this, right?
Oh.
So I get the letter, and it says, your collection day is currently Monday. Please be aware that your new collection day is Monday. Okay, I got that.
Yeah.
And then the only difference was, last week they collected the grey bin, so this week should be the green bin.
What's grey?
Grey is general
rubbish.
Waste,
and
green is recyclable. Yeah.
Yeah,
and my recyclable bin is always three times as full as the general
Excellent.
Waste bin. Yeah,
wash it all out and all
that. So my green bin is full because it was...
Gardening?
It was No, it's nothing to do with gardening. Oh. It's the recycling bin. The council have two green bins, one for garden and one not. And you have to put a yellow sticker on the green bin. You know, they couldn't think of doing
do you
a brown
get the
bin.
Gardening free, though?
No, you have to
where
pay.
Where I am, it's
no, we have to pay.
Thing.
Yeah, you have
Chris.
To pay.
Yeah. We have to... Where do you live, Chris?
I'm Eastry, so I'm sort of... Yeah. Dildover.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to pay. Is it about 75 quid? Or?
No idea.
Yeah.
I think my mum.
It's cheap for us just to fill a bag up and take it to the local tip.
Yeah.
Well, this is why there's so much fly tipping.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mattresses and things.
Anyway. So my green bin wasn't empty because now they.
And the green bin is recycling just to get the
fly. And the grey bin, which is less, is general. Yeah, stuff that they can't recycle, like broken plates and stuff like that.
Oh, you have a broken mug, I noticed.
I know you broke my best mug.
It wasn't me. It was Amanda.
Yeah.
Did she blame me?
No. Anyway, let me get this story out, otherwise we'll finish the show.
Go on then.
So, it's the same recycle pattern. So, I put the bin out on Monday, and they normally empty my bin at about 6:30 in the morning. So, I put it out on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I get home last night from work. It's still all over the pavement everywhere. So, I ring the council, and they go, give it a chance. I mean, give it a chance. They normally open at 6:30. Yes, well, they're still on their round. I said, okay, what time do they finish their round? Well, 5:00. I said, what's the time now? Oh, yeah, 5:30. Right, they're not going to collect it, are they?
No.
So I looked this morning, they haven't collected it. I ring the council. You can't complain until it's been out there 2 days.
48 hours.
Yeah, right. Oh, you go, get out of it.
Once it's all the way down the road and it's causing a mess, then you can complain.
Yeah,
it's
blown over,
and then
exactly.
They charge you for a new bin because somebody's nicked it.
Yeah.
Oh, so are you still waiting to complain?
I'm still waiting for them to empty it.
As Diana
also,
Ross once said.
My mum's 95 with dementia.
I'm still waiting. Sorry.
And for the last 18 months, she lives in Maidstone Council. I contacted Maidstone Council. I said, look, my mum can't put the bins out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, that's fine. If you leave them at the top of the drive, we'll collect them. Yeah. And a special order that you put in to do that. They've not done that once in 18 months. They just don't empty her bins. Yeah. So I have to drive over there and put her bin out. And I've complained and complained. And they go, oh, sorry about that. We'll let the contractor know. Mm. When are you going to let the contractor know? Because they've never done it.
I had the same with my mother, and who's 93.
And then my mum's got a council tax. My mum lives in a two-bedroom bungalow. She got a council tax bill for £2,200.
It's crazy. It has
just
to be.
Joking.
She's not making as. She's not needing as much as a family of five.
Well, they
six.
Don't supply anything anyway. They don't fill in the potholes. They don't collect the rubbish.
Well,
they don't do anything.
And as Chris said, we're having to pay extra for the garden
Absolutely.
Bin.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, wouldn't it be good if England and the government and the councils could all have the same recycling process, so that if you go and stay in a house in Wales or Bournemouth,
well, they're kind
you
of
know what you're doing.
They're kind of trying to do that around here.
Are they?
Well, because...
Well, I've got a red bin, a blue bin.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Have you got a food caddy?
Yes. What I'm trying to tell you is that Ashford Council, Maidstone Council and Swale Council all have the same contract.
It must be Kineco then.
Well, it was Biffa, but I don't know who it is now. Because they've just changed it.
Biffa sounds like something out of a child's sort of Biffa and Bunty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A child's comic.
Yeah.
I am very frustrated by the council because, as you know, we only have one place where we can let Darcy Greyhound off. Where
oh, don't
live.
Even start on that again.
On Longlock.
I got some of your mates starting on me on Twitter this morning.
What about?
I've got a tweet. It's from Freaky Thinking that says, should your employer encourage you to walk dogs? Yeah. And I got all your mates going, it's not just the employers, the council won't let us walk our dog. I know, we talk about it every week.
Oh, who were my mate? I didn't
I
even
can't
see
remember
that.
Who
I'll
it
have
was.
To follow you.
Yeah. No, don't.
Because we've walked our dogs, various rescues, for 30 years. On Long Rock.
They must be knackered by now, sorry.
Yeah, they are. And the greyhound, you know, it's very hard. They have very bad recall, if any dog people are listening. They're not known. You never see greyhounds off the lead. And we let Darcy off, and she's very good, as long as she's, you know, we've got biscuits. She's very food orientated. And
a bit like her owner.
Yeah, a bit like me. And so... This one
if
place.
If you wave a biscuit at her, Chris, you'll do anything.
Oh, I've got
brilliant.
I've got blue cheese in my bag. Never go anywhere without blue cheese.
Yeah.
The council have now decided that the dogs are the cause of the loss of the wildlife in Tankerton area on the shores. Nothing to do with the sewage that's going in the sea every day.
Never.
Constant sewage.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the... They've got kite surfers. They've got sailors. My new husband does it all, so I'm not criticising any of them, but it's a very busy area. No. Who can they get fines off of £100? Little dog walkers. Ladies walking their Labradors. So now the council are bringing in burly men in black with radios and cameras.
Oh, exciting.
No, they're horrible. With cameras, so they're filming ladies walking on their own in a very remote area.
Are you sure they're from the council?
Yes.
Okay.
With their webcam, or whatever it's called. What's it called? Their head, or wherever they...
Body cameras. Yeah.
And they, if your dog has a lead of longer than 2 metres, they will fine you £100. If your dog is off on the path, romping... they will fine you £100.
Well, so if it's off on the path but not romping?
If it's not romping and it's trotting, you will get a fine of £100.
Okay.
It's disgusting. So we've been to the meetings and the councillors, my new husband spoke about how dogs need to run and that this area is, you know, it's known for a little path that you can walk. They said there were 360 dogs spotted on their count. They didn't say how many weeks they counted, because I have been documenting every day, filming and sending it to them.
Mrs. Curtin Twitcher.
Yeah, I am. When I walk there, I film, and the most I've seen is 3 dogs.
Yeah.
It's crazy. In summer, it gets a bit busy.
It's
busier.
The bird mafia, isn't it, that have done this?
It is the bird mafia, maybe, but it's the council, because what they're doing is they're destroying all the natural habitats. They're chopping down trees. They're chopping down all the...
You want to see what they've done to her bush?
My blackthorn bush, all being cut down. So the birds in my garden, the bird food in my garden now is there for 6-7 weeks untouched because they've cut down all the blackthorn bushes up on the triangle that was always wild. So they're destroying it all along Thanet Way, if you know Whitstable, built great big housing estates. But no, it's dogs killing them.
Yeah.
It's Darcy Greyhound personally going out. So the meeting was last night. We were not allowed to speak at this.
Because you'd already spoken once. It was a cabinet meeting.
It the bench, and Gav said, your brain is Gavin, just seeing furniture.
Yeah, and Gavin told me all about it on Saturday night. It's a cabinet meeting.
Yeah. And we don't know now, but I will be in prison probably, because I will still let my dog off.
Well, that could be a laugh.
Will you come visit me?
Yeah.
Bring
we could do an outside broadcast.
Yeah. Will I be on Sheppey, do you think?
Yeah.
With Rolf Harris?
I'm going to Elmley Prison next week, actually.
With Rolf Harris?
No, just on my own.
I think he might have gone off by now.
Yeah, I don't know where he is, but I'm going to Elmley Prison next week. I've got a meeting there.
And what are you doing in there? Wearing stripes?
No.
Pyjamas?
No.
Taking a bag with swag written on it?
Yeah, no. I'm actually a part of what's called Sheppey Forum, which is a group that tries to promote the Isle of Sheppey, because I've got a business there.
Well, how are you promoting it to the prisoners?
No.
Oh, I've lost the thread.
We'll shut up and listen, and I'll tell you.
Are you going to promote it to the prisoners?
No. We have regular monthly meetings. Mm. Some we hold at my place at Island Works.
Yeah.
The next one, Andy, who's the governor of the prisoner, he's a member, so we're holding it at the prison.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the one after that, we're holding at Sheppey College.
I wonder what nibbles they'll have at the prison.
Not a lot, I don't think. It's not that kind of meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Coffee, tea?
No, possibly.
Served by maybe a murderer or something.
Yeah, could be.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they let them out now anyway. There's no room in the prisons.
I'll tell you a really quick funny story. Many, many years ago, I was a volunteer for an organisation that rehabilitated prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Peckham, in southwest London.
Yeah.
South London. And there was a chap there. And I've been talking about careers and CVs and stuff like that. And he came to me and he went, not getting anywhere, finding a job, mate. I've gone, well, show us your CV. And he gave me his CV, and it said, I worked on a building site, I did this, went to prison, I killed someone with an axe. Yeah. And then it went, and I came out in so-and-so, and I worked on job experience and da-da-da-da. So I'm not getting anywhere with this. And I said, why have you put that in there? He said, people said to tell the truth. Because not only did he say, I killed someone, but it wasn't me, and it wasn't my fault, and it was all that kind of stuff. I go, I think you can just put, I was in prison. You don't have to explain exactly why you were.
The axe bit.
The axe bit is kind of putting people off a little bit, don't you think?
Unless you're a butcher. he might get a good job there.
He might
there.
Go somewhere. Yeah.
A little hacksaw.
Hey, listen, I'm going to turn things on their head for the last show from this studio.
Oh, it's the last show.
Yeah, I'm going to do an interview that I recorded day before yesterday with a lovely lady called Louisa, talking about ADHD. And then after that, I'm going to do the cheesy chinage.
Oh, you're doing it the other way around?
I'm doing it the other way around.
Oh, how cute.
Just to be different.
Oh, how novel.
Yeah. So let's hear what Louisa has to say.
Let's hear.
Here's Louisa.
It's a pleasure now to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Louisa Peachy. Louisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Nice to meet you.
Hey, it's lovely to see you, Louisa. Thanks for coming in and talking to us. Why don't we start off with you telling us a little bit about you?
Okay, so I am a cognitive behavioural therapist and a counsellor. I've been working for myself for a number of years. I started off working for charity, but now I do one-on-one consultations. My latest escapade has been to design a conference workshop for parents of ADHD teens.
Okay. What led you into getting involved in that in the first place?
Well, I'd been having therapy myself since I was in my 20s, and my therapist at the time, she asked if I was confident enough to help her run a therapy group.
Right.
I had been volunteering for a charity called Insight, who used to be based in Herne Bay, supporting a group of people who suffered with the effects of personality disorders, and I agreed and started to work as a volunteer.
Right, okay. I love stories like that because, you know, it's not something you plan to do. You kind of got into it, you took a chance on doing it, and presumably you've enjoyed doing it ever since.
Well, one day my lovely coach who I worked with, she was poorly, and I said, look, I can run this group alone. She said, no, you're not qualified on paper. And so that's where it began. I decided to get qualifications.
And how difficult was that? How long did it take you? What did you have to do?
Okay. That was when I was in my 20s.
Right. So about 5 years ago.
I'm now 45.
Right.
I suffered a brain injury in 2012. I was in an accident where I was pushed very hard to the floor by two very strong men, resulted in a bleed on my brain.
Oh, blimey.
I was paralysed. I lost the sight in my right eye and my right ear, and I couldn't speak without slurring or having seizures.
Blimey. You seem absolutely fine now. Have you recovered?
Well, the severity at the time wasn't picked up, and I ended up with long-term damage.
Right.
My story was actually used by neurosurgeons at a seminar in Boston, USA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So finishing my course was difficult. It took a very long time. As I suffered a complete change in my cognitive ability, but with determination, I fought. I got movement, my eyesight back, some of my hearing. I learned to read and write again and be able to absorb information.
Okay, right. Cool. Can you describe to me what ADHD is and how it presents itself and when people are most likely to start noticing, if you see what I mean?
Okay, so I would say that it's actually parents who notice the children.
Right.
So parents start to notice normally hyperactivity.
Right.
But they might notice things like bedwetting, not wanting to go to school, a complete obstinate nature, which would be regarded as disobedience.
Right.
And then when people become teenagers, it changes. They can't concentrate. They might become addicted to drugs.
Right.
Pornography.
Right.
Shopping.
Okay.
A lot of ways.
I hear what you're saying. I guess it's quite difficult, though, because a lot of those things just are teenagers anyway.
Yeah, so this is the problem.
Yeah.
So when you want to look at the difference between an ADHD person and a teenager, there are very specific things that we're looking for.
Right.
Because ADHD is a prefrontal lobe. I would call it a difference.
Right, okay.
The way that it interacts is not what we call neurotypical.
Right.
So there is actually a physical change and difference, which can be caused by genetics.
Right.
But it can also be caused by things like brain damage,
right,
a lack of air at birth.
Oxygen starvation. Yeah, okay.
Or if a child hits their head badly, you know, they can end up being diagnosed ADHD. Things like drugs interact with the frontal lobe and change it.
Okay. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And we were discussing off air earlier. There's almost an epidemic of ADHD in terms of, you were giving me some figures earlier about the number of people that suffer from it in the UK.
In the UK at the moment, approximately 1 in 11 are diagnosed ADHD.
Right, okay. It's a huge number of people. And some unkind people will say, well, you know, this is a very new thing and it, you know, it didn't exist before, so it can't be real. But like every disease, every thing that afflicts human beings, until you discover it, you don't know it exists, you know. So if you go back in history, things like cancer and stuff didn't exist because nobody knew what it was. You know, they had different names for it, like a stomach worm or a poor humours and things like that. Yeah. Once you can diagnose an illness, then obviously you can diagnose it. Before that, you can't. So it goes undiagnosed.
So there are some original writings I came across which go as far back as the 1700s,
right,
which is pretty incredible. Mm. The diagnosis, though, is a very recent thing.
Right.
So if you look at ADHD as a science, we have three main chemicals that need to perform in our frontal lobe. And with people with ADHD, they cannot regulate these chemicals.
Right.
It's not possible. So it's an ongoing battle for them to learn how to manage the symptoms.
Right.
When I look back, I think, you know what? When I was at school, I finished school in 1995, we didn't have computers, we didn't have iPhones. Mm. Now they're permanently accessible, yep, even to babies.
Yep.
The influx of information we are forced to deal with on a day-to-day basis is too much, yep, for our brains.
Yep.
And something I teach is brain rest. I learned this when I had my brain injury.
Right. Okay.
Brain rest is very different from physical body rest.
Okay. So describe to us how one rests one's brain, because I need that as much as anybody, because my mind goes off all times of day and night with all kinds of nonsense going on. So how do we achieve some brain rest?
Okay, so this is something that I was taught years ago at a therapy group. If you can find the time to look at something like a white wall,
right,
better still, lay on grass and look at the sky.
Right.
But in the winter, you want to be indoors. So maybe be in a warm bath, looking at the white ceiling.
Hmm.
Imagine a train going by, and on this train are your thoughts, and you see them. You're aware that they're there, but you're not allowed to connect to them. In other words, you're not allowed to have a physiological reaction to the emotion that the thought brings up.
Okay.
It has to pass you by.
You have to detach from it. Okay.
If you can do that, you start with 30 seconds and build up for a few minutes every single day, your brain will completely rest and it will regenerate your ability to get through that day.
Nice one. Okay. Many years ago, I did a mindfulness course, which has very similar attributes, where you're aware of things without taking them in and owning them, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So you're taught to be aware of your feet aware of your knees or whatever. But, yeah, okay. That's interesting. I'm going to try that tonight.
You did.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Amanda, if I'm laying there staring at the ceiling, it's nothing personal. I'm clearing my mind. Okay, so you qualified as a therapist. You started a business. And how long have you been running that?
I qualified on paper in 2020.
Right.
But I had been working before that, but I wanted to be insured and I wanted to do things officially and I wanted to be able to run group therapies.
Right.
So I waited. I did quite a lot of work.
Right.
For instance, I went to work for the Forward Trust for a while, which is...
Okay, yeah, I know them. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, a group that help and manage addiction in Ashford. I worked for them as a volunteer. Okay. So just gaining more and more experience for a while. Mm. And now I'm overrun with clients one-to-one, which is lovely.
Yeah. Okay. I know a bit about that. I'm actually a trustee of Kenwood Trust. I don't know if you know them, a residential charity for people with addictions.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So, one of the many reasons you're here talking to us, apart from explaining all about what you do and why you do it and how you do it, is you've got a workshop coming up soon.
I have. So it's on Wednesday, which is going to be tomorrow, which is the 27th. It's at 7 p.m. Mm. It's going to be at Homewood School in Tenterden. They have a lovely conference centre there.
Right.
If you would like to attend, please email me, louisapeachy@googlemail.com for tickets. It's £10 per person.
Fantastic. So if you want to get along to that, have a look, email Louisa. You can also follow Louisa on Facebook, Louisa Peachy, with an E. P-E-A-C-H-E-Y?
It is, yep. Thank you.
But all the links are on the Kent Business Radio website as well. So if you didn't get those, if you didn't write them down, you can find them there. As Louisa says, the workshop is tomorrow night, Wednesday, manana, the 27th, is it? Yeah, of March at 7 p.m.
Yes.
At Homewood School down here in Tenterden. Louisa, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you continued success both with the workshop tomorrow and your ongoing work with people with this need. So, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Cool. That was Louisa Peachy there. And just to re-emphasise, her event is tomorrow night. If you go to the Business Bunker website, there is a link to her Facebook page where you can find out more about tomorrow night's event and you can book a place on it should you wish. And it's taking place tomorrow evening at Homewood School in Tenterden.
Smashing.
Good.
I'm very sad that I missed Hax's exhibition last
year. Yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah. I meant to go, but well, I just got
I
tied up.
I had to
up.
Be at Ashford Hospital for blooming 7:30 in the morning, so I had to get up at 5 a.m. So I was a bit goosey. But the new husband said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I feel really sad I didn't go.
Yeah,
because I saw the photos; they looked amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I want to do a couple of tweets before I do the cheesy tunage.
Yeah.
Michael Park Surveyors, they say, "Tune in to the best community radio show on air. We love spending Tuesday afternoons with the Business Bunker community." See, I could have done a joke there, couldn't I? I could have done, but if you can't listen to that, you can listen to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get that, did you?
No, because I'm reading.
Because you weren't paying a...
Say it again.
You weren't paying a blind bit of attention to
that. I'm reading the tweets. Get ready, because you're going to go, Jules, what have you got?
It says, Michael Parks of Ours says, tune in to the best community radio show on air. Oh. And I said, and if you can't do that, listen to us.
Oh, that's good. Very self-effacing.
Yeah.
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 I like it. I'm guffawing. Now... Sarah Marsh Collings, who is on the Twitter, she says, Jules, with an exclamation, what the heck is going on with your council, Canterbury City Council, blaming dog owners? I will come and visit you in prison.
Yeah, this is one of your followers as well, Maisie Hazy. Do you recognise her?
No, tell me.
Try the council, constantly making up rules about dog walking.
Well, how come you've seen that and I can't see
Cause
it?
Because she actually sent it to me.
Oh.
That's how I saw it.
And then Martin Reeves and the Vandellas, he's up in the loft. He hasn't really got the Vandellas in him, and you have to be a certain age to know who Martin Reeves and the Vandellas. It's actually Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. I have to explain, because we've got young people.
Jules, when you have to start explaining your jokes, they're not jokes any longer.
It's because the guests get younger
and
younger.
It's because you're too old, yeah. And most people don't know any of the jokes from the 1940s any longer.
No, thank you very much. I was actually listening to BBC World Service yesterday. My new husband came in and said, you know, I bite my nails. Mm. He said, Jules, there's a programme on biting nails on. And so he stopped my music in my bedroom that I had. I've got my nice tunes. And I had to listen to BBC World Service. And I said to him, is this Jack and Ori or something? They've got all this bobbly music. And it's all babyish. It's really babyish. And again, you know, and then these guys. And then I realised they're like 18 or 20, these young producers and that are doing the shows, because they're cheap. See, you and I, a bit more expensive.
They're birds, aren't they? They go cheap.
But Martin Reeves, who is up in his loft,
with the Vandellas.
Carry on, with the Vandellas, says, amazing lady, great interview with Louisa. So he really enjoyed that. So well done, Louisa.
Wayne Cunnington tweeted as well.
Oh, what's he saying?
Business Bunker, all you want in a show, really. Good guests. And he says, a planet of laughs. I think he means plenty of laughs, but We could be a planet of laughs.
I thought Planet was quite good. Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe I'm misreading that.
Martin Reeves is also shuffling about in his loft still. He says, my mum used to live, he's alluding to your rubbish. My mum used to live in Maidstone and I used to go over and put her bins out. Left out bottles of water for her bin men with a letter they used to get. Plus put back my mum's bin for her. I caught up with them when I was clearing her house to move. They were nice chaps. So did he leave out bottles of water for them to drink with a letter? That's rather sweet, isn't it?
Mm.
That's really sweet. Mm-hmm. And they were nice. I'm sure the rubbish collectors or refuse collectors are great. What they're called now, operatives.
Yeah.
But it's the council that's shuffling about all the time. How many bins do we have to have?
Exactly.
Too many bins.
Chimps and dinks.
What are they saying?
A great Business Bunker show, Vanilla Web, Jewel Sirkin, Orbital Net. Great lineup of guests as usual, banter and fun, all part of the show, along with the cheesy music. Yeah, that's coming up right now. You read Martin Reeves' tweet, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's doing the housework, apparently.
He says, glad to be listening to your last Business Bunker show at your current location.
Mm.
I'm going to have a longer journey. I'm going to have refreshments when I arrive.
Oh, here we go. Moaning.
I need a knapsack.
You need a nap.
And Sarah Marsh Collins is waving, tuning in for the last Business Bunker. Let's just tell you how you follow
it's not her. Let's get this right. It's not the last Business Bunker. It's the last one from this studio.
Oh, if it was the last one, I'd be ratted. I would not be.
She'd be flat on her back, listeners.
With a couple of bottles of champagne. It's just the last one in this place. So Sarah Marsh Collins, to follow her, she is at S Marsh Collins, Collings. And you can also follow her. She's a queen of digital marketing, you know. So you can follow them on Babel, B-A-B-E-L, Monkey Me. Babel Monkey Me, advertising and marketing agency. And they have a website, which is babelmonkey.co.uk.
Cool. I've got cheesy tunage.
What you got?
This is in homage to Danielle and Chris.
Oh, is it? Ah. Oh. Hello, the Beatles.
I'm in the...
Blondie.
It's Blondie. Oh, it's my Debbie.
I can't control myself. Yeah. It could have been, hello, you know, that one that's got a boot ring.
This one's...
Hanging on the telephone.
Hanging on to Rome. Yeah.
Like this.
Debbie Harry, Blondie, hanging on the telephone.
Oh, she was great at Glastonbury. What a chick.
Yeah.
What a chick.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm just going to go back and look at some more Twitters.
Yeah, go.
We've got quite a lot.
While you're looking it up, I've got some of these things to read.
Do you think that was the worst branding ever?
What?
Well, does anyone actually say X me?
No.
Everybody still says...
It doesn't
and
work.
Still on the radio, people still say, or in the paper, Twitter, now known as X.
Yeah,
it's like...
X just doesn't work. You can't do anything with it.
No.
You know? You can't X. You know, no. You tweet.
X.
Yeah.
Me.
The next meeting of the 2024 of the Marsh Network East Sussex is at Pet Village Hall at 10:30 a.m. on April the 9th. And Terry Botfield, who's the man behind it, says, continue 2024 the way you mean to go on. Join us by booking at marshnetwork.co.uk to secure your place. The meeting is all about face-to-face networking. As I say, that's 10:30 a.m. on April the 9th, and you can find out more about it and book your place by going to marshnetwork.co.uk.
And I'm going to read something. So Seven Oaks Chamber Networking, hope you can join us at the Salters Heath Business Centre on April the 3rd. We're excited to show you this fabulous modern business office facility, and tours will be organised during the event. The sponsors for the meeting are Jackson Fire and Security, and they occupy one of the offices at Salters Heath Business Centre. Members can attend for free, and guests are welcome for a £15 entrance fee. And so it's Seven Oaks Chamber Networking, as usual. Details are kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Put a little slash calendar. And it's on the 3rd of April at 10:30 to midday.
Fantastic. Coming up soon is the Southeast Construction Expo. It's a free innovative conference and exhibition with a networking breakfast, a women in construction lunch, and a gala dinner for contractors, developers, consultants, architects and related industries. It's taking place on the 1st of May at Sendown Park Racecourse in Surrey. It's free to attend, and you can find out all about it by going to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk.
And Tunbridge Wells have a networking. I'm on a networking thing at the moment. We hope you can join us for the April networking meeting in Tunbridge Wells. I can't believe it's April coming up. It's ridiculous.
I know.
This meeting is hosted at the newly refurbished Tunbridge Wells Town Hall offices. They've got a co-working meeting and event space. The meeting is sponsored by Denise Mason from Country Hire and Go. What's Country Hire and Go, I wonder?
I don't know.
I wonder if it's clothes.
Could be.
Or horses.
Could be anything.
Could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, tractors.
Somebody Google it. Country Hire and Go. Members can attend for free, and guests are welcome for a £15 entrance fee. This is April the 18th, 10:30 until midday. As usual, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. Canterbury Christchurch University are... offering a workshop. It's a masterclass. Take your organisation to the next level with innovative strategies and cutting-edge technology. We're thrilled to offer fully funded places for organisations to participate in our upcoming workshops, focusing on two crucial areas: creative strategies for implementing digital tools and harnessing the power of AI in business. You can find out all about these events by going to the website cccub2b, that's the number two, b2b, .mysite.com/events. Let me read that again because it's complicated. CCCU, so that's Canterbury Christchurch University, b2b, b number two, b, .mysite.com/events. Do check that out. Interesting that, how to use AI. I've been recruiting for someone to join our place in Sheerness at Islandworks, and the amount of CVs that are clearly written with AI is unbelievable.
Really?
It's just so obvious. Yeah.
So like what?
Well, it's just, you know,
wooden.
Yeah, it's just half a page of
robot
word salad. Yeah, it's basically, you know, I'm an innovative person with great facilities for doing customer orientated, and you go, it goes on. It's just not English, do you know what I mean? The type of person whose CV it is would not write or speak like that, and it's just so obvious, it's unbelievable. Yeah, there you go. Chris has found it.
Country Hire and Go provides personalised travel for electric bike hire and sales across Kent, Sussex and Surrey. How interesting. So you can get a bike whenever you want.
Electric bike.
Great.
Wow. We should have all come like that today, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you came from Whitstable, where I hail from, so we could have come together, couldn't we?
We could have. We could have car shared.
I'm sure we'll meet there with, what was your dog called?
Harold.
Harold. Yes. Oh, well, mine is Darcy. So Darcy
Harold and Darcy will meet.
We'll meet, yes.
Cool. So, apart from doggy dating, shall we carry on with this? Make your business a winner. The Kent Business Awards are open to all businesses in Kent, and it's free to enter. Over the past 8 years, the Kent Business Awards have been sought-after award for local businesses in Maidstone, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford and Canterbury and their surrounding areas who've gained promotion and recognition from their local community. So basically what it is there's an award for each of those areas. So Maidstone and surrounding area, Tunbridge Wells and surrounding area, Ashford and surrounding area and Canterbury and surrounding area. So, and there's 12 categories in each of those. And then You win awards in each of those categories, and then there's an overall Kent winner for the categories as well. So the awards focus on the following categories: startup. So it's a new startup business, micro business. That's a business with less than 10 employees, a small business. That's up over 10, but up to 50, and a medium business, which is over 50. There's creative digital and innovation. So Orbital Net should be in that.
Absolutely.
Customer service, best family business.
That as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Best construction business, best hospitality, leisure and tourism, best food and drink producer, businesswoman of the year, and an All Health Matters well-being award. It's a new category this year, sponsored by All Health Matters, and it's a company that's able to demonstrate a positive and proactive occupational health and well-being strategy for their employees. And then there's another new one, which is MHA, which is McIntyre Hudson Accountants, Sustainable and ESG Business of the Year. So if you want to find out about any of those things or to enter your business for any of those categories in any of those regions, it's businessawardskent.co.uk. Once again, the award dinners, there are two awards dinners, one in June and one in November. I shall be comparing both of those again, and I'm just pleased they've split it into two, because last year I was on stage for 6 hours.
That's a long day.
6 hours. It went on forever. I felt like Ricky Gervais.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Creative Motion Limited. Yeah. And they say, hello, please can the Creative Motion team get a shout out today? Hope to catch the show at 1 p.m. Just finishing off the first series of new videos for Eurotunnel.
Cool.
Woo. Mm. Now, if you want to find these creative video production people, the website is creativemotion.co.uk. They are a video production, live event production and audio visual installation company, and they're based in Kent, and they say they're bringing brands, business and technology to life, and they've been doing that since 2010. They've videoed us, actually, haven't they?
They did, yeah. Justin, who's the owner of Creative Motion, has done two or three promotional videos for the Business Bunker Show, and very good they are too, I have to say. And I'm building a video studio next to my podcast studio in Tenterton, and Justin and the team are helping me with that as well. I've been told off by Colin Harkness.
Oh, missing an apostrophe.
I missed an apostrophe. Well, I didn't. Twitter did. Yeah.
You know he's a teacher, don't you?
Yes, I know. He's a pedantic teacher. Yeah.
I kind of think, Colin might not agree, but I kind of think that punctuation goes out the window on Twitter, because you've got so few syllables. I put a comma or a semicolon.
I spend my life taking out full stops and commas and apostrophes on Twitter to make it fit into a 280 characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't be a grammar pedant on Twitter. You just can't. It doesn't work.
You can't.
Okay, I know people get really annoyed between your and your, and you know, there and there, and that's understandable, because that's just sloppy.
Yeah. And loose and lose.
Yeah.
That's a common one, isn't it? Loose and lose. But often Twitter will just write it.
Yeah.
Auto, you know.
Well, the thing is,
I once told somebody to eat rat with every meal.
Quite right.
When they were asking about weight loss and stuff.
Ratatouille.
And it was protein, but it came out as rat.
Yeah.
And she said, eat rat. And I looked, and I'd written, I thought, eat protein with every meal, but it came out as rat.
Yeah.
So she was a bit worried.
It's like Twitter has started editing my URL link and breaking it into words. So you go, no, URLs don't work like that. No. Yeah. You can't break them into separate words.
Well, Twitter hasn't blocked me yet so far, and I've been tweeting
a lot.
Don't
talk too soon.
Oh, once don't I start videoing, that's where it all goes Peak Tong.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice photo of Danielle and Chris that you put up there. That's lovely.
They're lovely. Very photogenic. What else you got? Well, I'm scrolling, actually.
You're scrolling, aren't
I'm scrolling the old Twitter, because there's a
have
lot.
A scroll. That's a medieval scroll that is scrolling.
I've had Cliff Brumby, who's been advising my daughter about, you know, getting her phone not nicked. And she said, advise her to always walk towards oncoming traffic. And I was saying, that's what we used to be told when we were kids. Were you ever told that, your generation?
Yeah.
When you're on a country road or something without a pavement, walk towards oncoming.
Yes. You can see it, to get out of the way.
Yeah, because, you know, these bikes come from behind and just grab. And, of course, you know, I use my phone in London all the time for Google Maps. So I walk around looking at Google Maps. I must be a sitting duck. Mm. So from now on, I think I won't do that. Thank you, Cliff Brumby. He's given me lots of advice. So, Martin Reeves is threatening to do a video of his loft for us. He says it's organised chaos.
In his loft?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I read that. Chips and Dinks, you've read, haven't you?
Yeah, while you're messing about with that, I'm going to read this. The number of people thinking about starting a business in 2024 has risen to 35%, an increase of 5% over last year. The annual Startup Ambition Report, now in its third year, from Small Business Support Platform and membership community Enterprise Nation, as part of the Startup UK program with Monzo Business, found that figures rises to more than half, 54% among young adults aged 18 to 24. These are 18 to 24-year-olds, 54% of them are thinking about starting their own business, a rise of 6% on last year. That age group alone equates to more than 2 million individuals with entrepreneurial ambition. Another 23% of Brits said 2024 was not the year, but still expected to start a business in the future, with 7% saying they had already started a business.
Very good.
Yeah, now all we've got to do is stop the business collapse.
I know. Well, I was talking to numbers. Rebecca, and she's still, you know, finding that people are not spending money in the beauty salon. The people are cutting back.
Hospitality is struggling.
We need some good weather so people start sitting outside and, you know, having a glass of wine. As soon as the sun comes out, you suddenly want wine, don't you, outside?
Yeah, I'm going to read this one.
Sun or not. To say that you didn't comment on my breakfast this morning.
Well, bacon and eggs. What do you want me to do?
Well, you could like it.
I can't.
Nurse Liz has.
I can't like it.
You can eat eggs.
I can't eat bacon.
Why?
Because I'm not allowed to.
Oh, okay.
Right. I'm going to read this one, and I'm just checking to make sure it's not OrbitalNet, right?
Oh, OrbitalNet.
Yeah, motorists are facing disruption in Maidstone as a huge fibre project has now begun. It's not you lot, is it? No, I didn't think it was.
Not yet.
Yeah. Temporary traffic lights have been installed on the A20 London Road near Queen's Avenue, with drivers warned to expect delays in the area. This comes as part of a huge fibre rollout across the town, which began earlier this month. The £50 million project will see a full town-wide fibre network installed throughout Maidstone over the coming years. It's expected that the disruption will go on till 2027. And each area will take multiple weeks to complete. However, City Fibre has added construction teams will typically only be outside each home for 2 or 3 days. Cutting your phone off. And City Fibre will be in touch by post ahead of any work starting. Blimey. I don't know what they're doing in Maidstone. I don't know what that's all about, but there you go.
They're doing big national full fibre rollout, City Fibre.
Okay.
So that'll be their next area of choice in Kent.
Right.
They'll probably be going around all of the big towns in Kent.
Okay, is that like the other fibre providers like Lightning and Truly and all that? Are they providing domestic fibre?
Yeah, they're doing domestic and business, but we actually are a partner with City Fibre.
Okay.
So once it's all in the ground, we'll be able to, you know, provide...
Connect you up.
Yeah.
Nice one.
And they've all got all the funding now, so should they look into deploy, the government funding's now available for them to get that in the ground.
Yeah, great. I mean, we are behind the curve. I'm not kind of moaning about this because our telecoms infrastructure has been in place longer than any other country in the world. So it was always a difficult thing to replace all the copper. And we're going to be talking about that in the second half of the show. But I live on the A28 in Tenson on a main road. And I quite often watch fibre companies walk past putting fibre in. I go, can I have that? And they go, no. No, but I've got a cunning plan. As I was saying to Chris earlier, I'm going to attach myself to an orbital fibre.
Attach yourself.
I am. Yeah. I've got a cunning plan for doing it.
I was interested. We haven't got long to talk about it, but for the break. But there've been a lot of cyber attacks, haven't they? With was it McDonald's and Greggs?
Yeah.
And were they saying that China is responsible?
Well, they say all kinds of
it
people.
It wouldn't surprise
me.
But everything is Chinese now.
They didn't say what it was, but of course, was it last weekend or the weekend before? Sainsbury's and Tesco's both went off air.
Yeah.
So nobody got their shopping at the weekend.
Yeah, and Aldi couldn't pay its payroll went off air.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of warnings going out there. Mm. And I do advise people always to keep some cash in the house.
Yeah.
Well,
that's it. I mean, Sainsbury's couldn't take any contactless payments or
so you
anything.
Needed cash.
Yeah, well, you had to have cash, but you could use a credit card if you knew your PIN number. But of course, most people don't even have a credit card now. It's all on, you know, in a wallet on their phone. So they couldn't take Apple Pay or Google Pay or anything like that.
Did you know that if you've got a Tesco card, the club card, that you often get cheaper stuff, which I think is awful if you've got it. But if you use it on your Apple wallet, you don't get the points.
Mm,
and so many people don't know that. And I asked at the Tesco Metro in Tankerton. She said, oh, yeah, you'll get your points. Then I asked at the big Tesco, and he said, no, you won't get your points. You have to download the Tesco app, the Tesco Money app.
They changed it, that's why. They changed the Tesco app. It used to work perfectly. And then what they did is they embedded it in the rest of their shopping app.
Mm.
And now, so I go in Tesco's in Tenterton and they say, produce your club card. Yeah. And you go, no signal.
Mm.
And they used to have a store Wi-Fi, but that doesn't work either at the moment. So you go, oh, yeah, well, we'll give you a receipt and you have to claim the points back later.
You never get around to it.
And you never do it.
I've got to buy a new toothbrush for the new husband because he keeps stealing mine. We've got separate bathrooms, very wide. Yeah. And I can't find my Boots card, and it's quite a big ticket, you know, to price, I mean. So, and I can't find my Boots card. So they'll tell me to download an app and I'll never get it. And then they'll say, you can do it, but can't do it in this store, but you can do it in another store. And it's a very annoying life at times. I'm off to Zanzibar, I think.
Are you? I don't blame you.
Sit in a hammock.
I'll warn them that you're coming.
Orbital have said, Daniel and Chris looking like radio pros.
Yeah, well, they are. That's why.
It's a lovely photo, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Taken by me.
And we're going to talk to Daniel and Chris in the second half of the show all about the work that Orbital Internet Group do. We've got a couple of minutes until we have the mid-show break. Have you found some more tweets to read yet?
Yeah, we've got... if you're looking for something fun to do, because we've got Easter coming up, we have lots going on at the Kenwood Place for little ones. It's 25th of March to the 7th of April. They have a nature detective adventure trail.
It's brilliant,
fun.
That is.
That sounds really good. It's Good Friday and Easter Saturday. Typo on Easter. They've called it Esther.
That's its name.
Saturday the 29th and the 30th of March, they've got the alpacas and goats.
Yeah.
Meet and greet. I might go to that. Full details, kenwoodplace.co.uk/events. I'm putting on a big Easter lunch for family, but I might go to that on the Saturday.
The alpaca walks are really, really popular. Which it just makes you like, because they look so cute, don't they, alpacas, until they spit at you. And then it stinks when they spit at you. But funnily enough, the goats are really popular too. Walking goats. There's an older.
I'd like to do that.
I'm a trustee of Kemba Trust, and we got this really old goat that's really good fun. Really, the kids love it because it's a real soppy thing, this goat.
So it doesn't butt.
No, not only that, you don't even have to, it walks you, basically. You don't even have to hold the lead, it does what it's told.
In my breakfast video of my eggs and bacon, I just saw there's an FSB pen where I was making
product placement.
Yeah. I need to charge them, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a break for a couple of minutes.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, and